The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Thank you for the good times. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the joy you've given me. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, a program designed to promote a positive work environment. Your hosts are Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. In this hour, you will be motivated to motivate, increase morale, productivity, loyalty, and reduce turnover. Learn how some companies get it while others don't. Now, here are your hosts, Roy and Max.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, the show that's all about building relationships, inspiring greatness, and creating a workplace where people can thrive. I'm Max Brown, along with my colleague Roy Saunderson, and we're both from the Recognition Management Institute. And Roy, for me, I'm really excited about this show, really excited to talk to someone who's actually walking the talk every day out on a plant floor.
Well, that is going to be interesting. I think we hear a lot of wonderful examples to leadership gurus, theorists who have kind of explored this. But to get right on the ground floor, this is an exciting opportunity for our listeners to be able to learn what it really takes to put into practice the many things that we continue to teach people and what we hear from the many exceptional thought leaders that we interview.
Well, and you're absolutely right. For me, and I met this man, and we'll just get right to it. His name is Billy Ray Taylor. He's the plant manager at Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Billy and I met actually when we were both speaking at a conference together earlier this last, actually in the spring. And afterwards, I just felt like there was this amazing man. I had to connect with him, and so we did, and we had this amazing connection. And I went out to Fayetteville. He took me on an amazing tour of this facility, and I said, "Oh, we got to have you on the show. Would you do it?" Billy, really, really excited to have you here.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. Thank you very much for having me as a guest on the show.
Well, we are grateful. And for our followers and listeners out there that try to give them a context of who you are, Billy, let me just talk about you for a moment. You are a highly respected leader with over 20 years of diverse experiences in all phases of manufacturing management. You've repeatedly been called upon to implement improvement strategies in underperforming operations, and you've been instrumental in achieving an 18.4% productivity increase in units in just 6 months. And that's what astonished me about the plant we got to go visit. Billy's plant is improved from about 31,000 tires per day to over 38,000 tires per day. I didn't even know people could make 31 to 38,000 tires per day anyway. But while spending $70,000 less a day year over year. In addition, the unit cost has been reduced from $30 to $27, or $27.96, representing a $35 million savings to the bottom line with 5 million hours worked without a lost time accident. For those of you who are asking for where's the proof in the pudding on this stuff, this is it. He's the recipient of the Association of Manufacturing Excellence Award and the Shingo Prize Silver Medallion, the Nobel Prize for Manufacturing. Billy's previous experience includes being recognized as one of the most admired CEOs in Oklahoma. He's an enthusiastic and natural communicator. He speaks at numerous industry events, including the Association for Manufacturing Excellence, the Shingo International Conference, where we met, and the United States Army Black History Event. He's also called upon by numerous universities, colleges, and schools to deliver his "Is Everyone is the CEO" motivational keynote to students and share his unique steps and systems on life and business. So, Billy, again, welcome to the show. And my goodness, just having you here puts a big smile on my face.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. it's an honor. I'm humble.
Well, and because of that, you endear yourself to many people, not only in your own plant, but could you give people a perspective of where you work? And I'm imagining you in your office right now, and just give us a bit of a perspective and how many employees, and when you first got there, what were things going on, and how things feel, how they've changed over even just the last 6 months to a year.
Well, of the Fayetteville facility, it's a consumer tire manufacturing plant with 2,923 associates, employees. It's located in Fayetteville, North America. The unique thing about Fayetteville is it has the most diverse and complex ticket of any tire plant in the North American footprint. And being so, we run approximately 656 different SKUs, so different tire codes that go through this plant daily.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So there's a lot of concurrency and complexity that the people have to go through. And at the time when I first arrived here in Fayetteville, the plant was struggling to survive in a global economy. And in the past, the solution was to add labor. Poor performance was to add more labor versus getting more efficient, and we couldn't compete. And by doing so, by not being able to compete, morale was very low, and motivation to improve was seemingly dormant. And by strategically linking the organization, we built trust over all layers of the plant and started to transition to getting to be a more efficient, reliable supplier, not just a manufacturer.
Mm-hmm. And how many employees again when you first got there? And
2,900 associates, over 2,900.
Yeah, and you were previous to this, you had been at a different operating plant that was just producing gangbuster numbers, and then said people called you up and said, "Hey, Billy, man, could you come help us at this other facility?" Right?
Yes, I was actually in Lawton, Oklahoma, prior to coming to Fayetteville, where we produced 65,000 tires a day.
Yeah.
So and at that point, we had put some lean systems and tools and started to really drive the behavioral piece through to the shop floor. And so it was asked, could it work in a union facility? Because this plant is a United Steelworkers plant.
Mm-hmm.
So it was said that you couldn't penetrate that type of workforce with the same principles about behavior and aligning the organization. And so coming here, people are people. You're in a people's business. You're not in the tire business if you're truly leading. So coming here, partnering up with the union, changing the culture, it was phenomenal. It's been received. Actually, the board of directors had me come up and present in March the gains and the behavioral things that we were doing to transition the plant. It was the first time a plant manager had been brought before the board.
Yeah, it's a fantastic story. How did you begin to take this on? And it seems like you said, this is a people business. And
yes.
And how did you begin to address that instead of this status quo of adversarial relationship, which unfortunately too many plants or operations have, particularly with their union environments? You changed that.
Yes. First, one of the things we talk about is the building trust part. We had to right our wrongs. And so we did an engagement survey from everybody in the floor. We brought them in individually one-on-one, all 3,000 of the associates, 2,000 plus, 900. And what we did was start having face-to-face interaction with people. Every day I have two meetings at 6:15 a.m. and at 2:15 p.m. And 25 people from the floor brought into this setting. And they can talk about whatever they want to talk about. So I can't prompt to the questions. I don't know what the questions are. And I answer the questions right there. And then here's the thing we say. We want people to be honest, and we don't want there's no repercussions. So what happens, we call it, when you walk in the grocery store and you see the lady with the baby carriage, and most people look in and they give an answer that's politically correct. So it's, oh, you're so cute. Oh, the baby's so cute. Okay, and in our plan, I want you to walk up to the baby carriage, my baby carriage, look in and tell the truth and say, dang, you got an ugly baby. Okay, and if your feelings are hurt, then something's wrong, because after the ugly baby story comes to, okay, let's go get barrettes, let's go buy clothes, let's dress the baby up. Let's deal with what the real issues are.
Mm-hmm.
And so listen first. That's where it all starts, and you must have humility. I am nobody's boss. I work for them. They don't work for me. And that's where it started, and you could see the transition start. People started coming in, and we started having CI meetings. It's the most important meeting of our week. Last month, our CI meetings netted over $6 million in savings. They're all driven from the floor level.
Yeah, unbelievable. But let me challenge you a little bit. A lot of people would be saying, yeah, a lot of people do town hall meetings. A lot of people say, yeah, we have to listen more and we have to be humble. But they're not really practicing that. What you're doing here, let's reiterate, you're doing two meetings a day, every day, 25 people from the floor. I mean, you're meeting 100, 200 people a week.
Yes. The difference in a town hall meeting is the difference between entitlement and engagement. A town hall meeting, I'm telling you what I want you to hear. I'm telling you about the business. So therefore, that's entitlement. Whether you want to hear it or not, I'm going to tell you.
Yep.
In these meetings, it's about engagement. You tell me. You tell me what the issues are. You tell me what is driving the organization. And then here's the closure is, I have to respond in writing. That's posted on every bulletin board, on every TV in the break area, the response to the questions that were brought up or the issues that were brought up to bring closure to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a difference in just having a meeting to inform you, basically saying you're entitled. I'm engaging you in conversation and in solutions.
And it's interesting to me that when you first started this conversation, people weren't sure that you were really sincere or interested in doing it, right?
Yes. Yes.
And it didn't come easy. I mean, people wanted to know that you were actually going to do something about this stuff and that it wasn't just a, for lack of a better word, a gimmick.
Yes. Even the union, at the onset, the union wouldn't even come to the meeting, the union leadership. That's why we started documenting and putting out the successes. Here's what we're doing. Here's what we said we were going to do, and here's what we're doing. So it couldn't come back to it. Billy just expressing words, not actions. So we started to show, and then on the bottom line, we're proving to the people here we're netting the bottom line. And in addition to that, we're going to share some of the profits with you.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a share plan that says it's not bribery, it's not an incentive, it's a share plan. Here's what we did, and we're going to share with you.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And so it's walking the talk, but then taking this transformation. And once you started to get this to happen, people started coming forward, like you just said, $6 million in savings just last month. It's just phenomenal. And this is happening month after month after month, and the savings continue. People knew these problems were around to begin with. How did you encourage them to identify them, step up and say, let's do something about it, let's be more efficient, as opposed to just the status quo?
Well, the one particular person I'll talk to, we call him Sammy the Janitor.
Yeah.
And Sammy, he's been here for 20-plus years. And now when the CEO comes, he comes in, he asks for Sammy. And he wants to see Sammy. And why does he want to see Sammy? Sammy, when he came the one time, the CEO stopped him. He said, Sammy, what's the ticket? And Sammy says, $38,000. He says, how are you doing to the ticket? Sammy says, we came up 50 tires short yesterday because we lost the conveyor. Now, Sammy works nowhere near final finish.
Yeah.
But if you walk to our plant, how do we do it? We have what you call a red-green system. And so red-green is about engaging everyone. When you drive through the guard shack, the guard will update you on our plant's performance. And then you pass by a red-green board that tells you the status of our plant in a 10-second glance.
Yeah.
If you walk out to every machine, there's a red-green board that they're telling you how they're performing and what are their countermeasures to where we're not succeeding. So basically, every operator is now a plant manager and an entrepreneur. So they don't check their brain in lunch. When they come to the gate, they don't check their brain at the gate anymore.
Yeah.
They keep coming all the way to run a business.
Yeah, and they see that board all the time. I mean, we were standing 50 yards away from the board, and you said, Max, what do you see on that board? And I thought, wow, I'm a long ways away, but you just said, hey, that first line safety, and I could tell you safety was running 100%.
Exactly.
And then we were looking at the productivity. I mean, it's just unbelievable, and I was 50 yards away. People are actually using this, and like you said, people are bringing their whole brain to work. It's not just an entitlement punch-in, punch-out mentality anymore. They're getting involved in the business and saying, I knew that was waste right there, and now I can change it. And they knew it before, but now they're actually wanting to be a part of that.
Yeah, and the hardest thing to do with this was the repercussion piece.
Yeah.
people want to lead with the hammer, especially when they feel they have the authority or the title. I'll give you an incident that happened earlier in the week. There was an individual waiting outside my door at 6:30 in the morning. And when I came out of a meeting, he had roped off a gondola with caution tape. And he said, "Mr. Taylor, I need you to go see something because it's eroding profits. I found a hidden factory today."
Okay.
And so we go out to the gondola, and there were pipe fittings, and there was oil rings, and there were things that we had threw away out of the storeroom.
Yeah.
And he said, "Billy, this is affecting my bottom line." And I thought about it. I went as an engineering manager, so we do walks of excellence every day. So we take a camera so there's proof. And then what we do is post these pictures and say, "In search of excellence," and we take pictures of excellence.
Yes.
So everybody wants to get on the of excellence posting. But this was in search of excellence, and it was probably about $27,000 worth of parts that we were getting ready to just throw away. This was found by an associate.
Love it.
And so what happens, then we have to backtrack to how did they get into the gondola.
Yo.
And it was a vendor error, so the vendor threw it away. But he said, "Why don't we contract this out? If you're donating it, let's not throw it away. Let's give it to other plants,
yeah,
our sister plants."
Yeah.
But that was an hourly person driving that process.
And discovered a $27,000 worth of...
Exactly, but he had to have the confidence that he was a plant manager, that he could bring that to me.
You bet.
Not just, I'm just an operator, it doesn't matter what I say.
Billy, I love this conversation, and when we come back, we'll continue that conversation around how you celebrate the excellence in the room and, like, the examples you're taking of pictures and sharing on the boards. The people are being recognized for great work, and they're being recognized and appreciated when they do great work. Love this conversation. So glad you're with us. For Max Brown, myself, and Roy Saunderson, my colleague, we're talking with our guest today, Billy Taylor, the plant manager in Fayetteville, North Carolina, making a difference and changing people's lives and making more money as a result. You're listening to Real Recognition Radio on the Voice America Business Channel, and we'll be right back.
When it comes to business,
you'll find the experts here.
Voice America Business Network. Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
Have you planned for your retirement yet? If you are a public sector employee, perhaps not. Studies have shown that employees of schools, educational institutions, governments, nonprofits, and public safety may lack the information they need to effectively prepare for retirement. For the answers you need, tune in to Lessons in Retirement, Retirement Planning for Public Sector Employees with host Jim Bishop, broadcasting live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. It's sure to pay off in your future.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about: getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with myself, Roy Saunderson, and Max Brown. And our guest today, Billy Ray Taylor, plant manager at Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. And Billy, as I was listening to your conversation with Max there, I thought, you know, Max brought up, you're talking about bringing people are bringing their whole brain to work, and I'm sure with the kind of work you're doing, you have to bring some brawn and muscle along. But how do you get people to bring their hearts to work?
That's the engagement versus entitlement piece. And it starts with humility. Because everybody, and I tell them, my name is Billy. It's not Mr., it's not Sir. My mother named me Billy, and that's what I like to be called. And so that's what I challenge. I have a unhidden rule. It's a hidden rule. But if I get within 2 feet of you, I speak. I shake your hand. And what happens is people start to open up to you. They started to talk. They start to trust you. And so, therefore, when you start to empower people, they want to do well. They want to be game changers. People like when, even when you're dressed nice, right? People like to say, when you say, wow, you really look nice today, or that's some nice smelling perfume you have. People start to brighten up. It's like the car. When it's clean, you feel better. You think you look better. It seems to run a little better. And it's that part of engaging people, getting them on board and empowering them. Now, there's failures that go with that.
Yeah.
There are setbacks. But you can't revert back to that behavior of the hammer. You can't. You have to eat those, because those are just small setbacks. There's major gains ahead.
Yes.
And people buy in.
So when you look at your role, all that you do at work, what's the most important thing you find you do each day?
As a plant leader, I motivate people. I believe motivation is the engine that drives organization performance. And when I say that, so what do you do? I engage, I empower, and I inspire. That's what I do. People are limited more by their attitude than opportunity, I believe, especially when fear and anger and complacency pervade the workforce. You know how people get,
yeah.
And it causes setbacks. So as a plant leader, you'll find me, I think I was with Max, and said, I'll walk down the main aisle of the plant and watch the interaction. And so as a plant leader, although I'm in charge of strategies and strategic and initiatives and being innovative, but it starts with the people, motivating, inspiring, empowering, and engaging everyone in my workforce. That's what I do at work.
So knowing that you've got this leadership role, as you say, the strategy, the whole operational management, how much time would you spend probably connecting with people to, as you say, engage, empower, and inspire?
I spend, of my day, I want to say 5 hours a day, I spend out interacting and engaging with people. Of my
that's
day.
That's exemplary.
Yeah, that's and you know, sometimes the time just flies.
Yeah.
It does, but when it's natural, and people can sense when you're not sincere.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out there being political, it's not going to work.
Right.
And it centers around emotional intelligence. I don't treat everybody the same. And everybody says, well, you have to treat everybody the same. No, because we like different things. Different things motivate us.
Mm-hmm.
I may talk to someone about fishing, someone about manufacturing, someone about the kid playing football.
Yep.
Okay, I'm consistent with everyone. So
there's something else here, Billy, that kills me. I'm sorry to interrupt, but when you were out there on the floor, I don't care how dirty or greasy, and it's a dirty, greasy environment. I mean, there's a lot of there's a lot of stuff going on that floor. You shake everybody's hand, and you do not care how greasy or dirty their hand is. You go up, and people know you will, so they naturally want to come up and shake your hand. They just want to be around you because you have this vibe about you that people want to be around you.
And I appreciate that. And the one thing, and it's kind of basically clarify what I'm saying, and I coach youth sports as well. And one lady asked me, she said, I see you over there cheering for my kid, and he didn't do anything. And I said, ma'am, I think you missed the point. I said, "At when you're engaging people, you don't cheer for them to make the shot. You cheer for them to take the shot. I said, when you cheer that, they'll start to make the shot, knowing that you have enough confidence in them to take the shot. And so when people do that, talent comes out of the woodworks, because you're not saying, I want you to play on the bench.
Yep.
I'm giving you unconditional trust. I trust you. And so it's changed the game here.
Yeah. Well, that's powerful. Yeah, and your cheer example tells us that recognition and celebrating the good things is important. How do you demonstrate, and how do your leaders, other leaders, demonstrate recognition and celebration in the workplace?
Oh, now we've actually partnered up with the union. Even when we do cookouts, we don't cater in the meals. We run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if we cook for a night shift, the whole executive leadership team and the union executive leadership team, we come in and man the grills, and we cook at 2 and 3 in the morning and personally deliver the food to the people. In our CI meetings, we use a military format. They have your first project, you get a bronze medal, second project, a silver medal, a third, a gold. At 12 projects, you get a platinum medal. When you start to do something exemplary, I have a general's coin. It's called a plant manager's coin. The middle of my coin is solid gold. So that coin is awarded out. Every month, we raffle off $1,000 worth of tires. Not raffle. Ooh. We pull out in a raffle format.
Yep.
So if you did a project, you automatically go into the drawing. And so that's just a small sample of what we do to recognize people. And it's ongoing. And here's our belief. Of growing our team, people may think recognition is overrated, or they say that people get a paycheck, that's enough.
Right.
That's not true.
Uh-huh.
That is not true. We believe that recognition is like fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
You sprinkle it, like when we came home and our teacher recognized us, we want to do more.
Yeah.
We want to do more. And if you don't do it, as I tell people, I know you can buy your own hamburger. That's not the point. The point is I recognize what you're doing, and I just want to say thank you.
Gotcha.
So
Bill, you're an exemplary leader, and we're grateful for what you're sharing. How do you get other supervisors and leaders to be equally exemplary, so that this is a culture throughout the whole organization, and with all due respect, not just yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. We have a system to align us to make sure, from a behavioral standpoint as well as a KPI, it's called 8-4-2-1. So basically, I get $8 to spend, and there's two people that are on my R chart or right below me. So I take my 8 and divide it into 4.
Mm-hmm.
So the strategies that I'm doing, from a leadership perspective, am I cascading that down, and how can I tell?
Right.
And so what we do is we benchmark each other. We benchmark leadership styles. We benchmark best practices for leading, and we confront reality. Mm-hmm. And it's basically give it to them straight. And we engage in what we call funeral talk. Okay.
Okay,
funeral talk is, we don't wait. You know, most people want to wait until the funeral to tell you how they really felt about them.
Right.
We tell you why you're living.
Mm.
We call it funeral talk. When it's good, we praise you. When it's bad, we tell the truth. And so you'll see people in a meeting raise their hand and say, Billy, I've got some funeral talk. Nancy drove down waste today. Nancy, I'm happy I have you on my team. Great job. Thank you. Right in the middle of a meeting. And you see literally people are about to cry. Because there's some things that are normally not said. And they may say it behind the scenes. But at the funeral, what? You're speaking in front of everyone.
Yes.
And, you know, you often hear the person presiding over the funeral say, okay, we're going to limit it to 3 minutes. Because, see, we'll run on at the funeral. But here, it's open. And I'll tell you, it's empowering. It's empowering. Everyone gets involved.
Do you think this came about because of your initiative with those continuous improvement meetings when you pull people out?
I think it was a commitment to stay the course.
Yeah.
And saying, okay, this is not the flavor of the month. We're sticking to it. You know, most often people talk about Lean, Six Sigma. How many black
right.
belts do you have? Lean manufacturing is not about tools all by themselves. It's linking tools, people, and systems.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you link them? And more often than not, people walk through the airport, see a book, and say, wow, we're going to do this. And then they come back to the boardroom, and it's the corporate initiative. Well,
yeah.
when you talk about changing a culture, the best lean tool is the ones that you stick with. It's how you keep driving. Are you committed to it? Are you showing the people that you're committed to it? Are you loyal to it? And then I tell my team, do not translate lean manufacturing into speaking Japanese. Okay? We're so caught up in the words more so than driving the improvement process.
Absolutely.
And as I share with my team, I said, when I first came here, I said, I'm going to state a sentence, and I want you to interpret. Now, if you raise your hand and I pick you, and you embarrass yourself, that is your fault. If you don't know, I'm okay with you not knowing.
Sure.
So I said, let's go down to the Gemba. We're going to look for a process that we can poke yoke, and then we're going to come back and share Yokotin. Raise your hand. Two people raised their hand. I said, okay, we're going to go down to the shop floor. We're going to look at a process that we can mistake-proof, and then we're going to come back and share best practices. How many of you know what I mean? 100% raise your hand. Now, that's lean manufacturing as they understand it.
Mm.
If you go back and keep putting the fancy words out there, they don't get it.
No.
Yep.
And I recently had a friend visit me. He's the lean specialist for China. And he was visiting me. He asked me, could he come spend a week with me? And he said, Billy, the people don't get it. In China, I said, what do you mean? He says, you know, Billy, some of them, they literally speak dumb. They have to sign their checks with their thumb. They don't get it. And let me show you my laptop. I got all these fancy programs. And I'm looking at him, and he says, what, Billy? I says, Sam, I think it's you that are missing the point. He says, what do you mean? I says, how much time have you invested in learning how to speak dumb? He thought about it. 2 weeks later, he sent me a nice gift and said, since I've learned how to speak dumb, lean progress is moving very rapid here.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. It's a powerful, powerful example that you shared there, Billy. And I think what you're bringing is a real-world life perspective of being able to apply this, which I don't think too many people do. And we're going to have to take a short break, but I think we're going to have some more funeral talk here, Billy.
Yeah. All right.
we're going to continue this conversation in a few minutes on our Real Recognition Radio show today with our guest, Billy Taylor, with more about engaging for real results. For Real Recognition Radio, I'm Roy Saunderson with my colleague, Max Brown.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
The next generation of employees is more sophisticated about recognition. They want to make a difference to their organizations, to their environment, and to their world. Rideau offers a full suite of recognition and reward solutions tailored to meet our clients' needs strategically, technologically, and globally. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
If you are looking for creative ways to improve your bottom line, tune in to Make Your Move with Alan and Brian Bolio. Their proven track record of helping businesses enhance their profitability will provide the basis for a forum about actionable items based on a business person's perspective. The program will be business talk, but with an economic context, so you'll know how to stay ahead of the game.
Make Your Move is broadcast live every Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with my friend and colleague, Roy Saunderson. Of course, myself, Max Brown, and our great guest today, Billy Ray Taylor, the plant manager at the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Billy, we were just talking about how you need to talk some when you're in China, you know, or at least a little bit of Mandarin or something, you know, to understand why and what's their perspective as opposed to just imposing our perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's a challenge, however. Success often breeds arrogance, and there are a lot of leaders out there that forget that their role really is about serving others. Although servant leadership has been around for a long time and it sounds really nice, practicing is a whole other matter. You told me we were having lunch there in a little cafe, and you said, Max, I like when people call me sir. I like it when people treat me with respect. It sounds nice, but I tell people to call me Billy because it reminds me of who I am and that I need to stay grounded.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you tell me more about that? How do you stay grounded, and what would you say to others to keep them grounded in being a servant leader?
Well, first and foremost, I believe humility is one of the greatest teachers for a leader. And it is my opinion, and this comes from my mother, I believe great leaders don't look at the people they lead. They look as the people they're leading. And so when you do that, you look at it from others' perspectives, not just yours. It's not all about you. And to stay humble, there's a big difference from being the pitcher and the pitcher frame. I recently talked to, I was on the phone with an attorney right before the interview, and he was talking to me, and he just recently had a child, and he says how different it is now. I says, oh, it's different being the pitcher frame, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's about serving others versus serving yourself.
Yeah.
And most leaders miss that. You know, they don't ask how they can get better. They tell you first.
Mm-hmm.
That's not leading. And humility will put you back in your place whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some humbling experiences. As my mother used to say, everyone has a boss, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you give humility, you get it in return. And it serves you well.
Yeah.
It serves you well.
Well, and one of the examples that I really appreciated, when you first walked into the plant at one point, and if you could tell me a little bit more about this story, but the tile floors in one of the testing, the lab?
Yes.
Tell us the story, because I think this is a compelling story. There's another one about the bathroom, which I thought was quite funny as well, but I'll let you take the lead on this.
I was actually walking through our test facility, and I was walking back just through my routine tour, and I stopped into the lab just to look around, and there was oil on the floor, trash cans were filled to the top, and the floors were just, they were damaged. And I walked in, and I asked, who's accountable for making sure that your work area is safe? Now, there were contract labor in the lab and some other associates. So what I told them was, I asked the question, why don't we keep this area clean for them? And I got some vague answers. I said, okay, well, here's the deal. I do not want my office clean until this office is immaculate, and I will sign off on this being immaculate. So I don't want anyone in my office until this area is clean. Do not clean my office. If they can work in this type of environment, so can I. And they've totally revamped their whole working area. And here's the crowning testimony. At our CI meeting this week, three of those associates reported out CI projects that netted over $144,000. And the lady, as she walked by, says, well, every time I come in the lab now, you give me two jobs. And she started laughing because last week she told me she needed a new roof.
Mm-hmm.
But what she did was eliminate my off-test, basically variances in material, that saved $144,000.
Yeah.
So in return, she gave it back to me.
In spades.
Oh, in her morale. She was smiling, and she was just engaged.
Well, we walked in that room in that lab, and she just came up and gave you this big hug, and you didn't tell anyone I was coming. They didn't even, and they, frankly, no one even knew who I was or why I was observing. You just took me around the shop floor. She didn't know.
Yes. And you know, Max, you didn't prompt me this, and I didn't put it together. You remember when she stopped me and said, my roof?
Yeah.
That's what I gave her. So she got her roof. And so that's why she was excited. She actually got what she stopped me for that day, she has now.
She did.
Yeah, and the other one was the bathroom. I had a person call me and said, Mr. Taylor, will you go look in our bathroom? Look at our sinks. And look at this. And so I walk up in the bathroom. Sure enough, he was accurate. And it was not fit for them to use, in my opinion. And so I walked down and found the cleaning department. I said, I need some gloves, some Ajax, and a brush. And I said, what are you doing, Mr. Taylor? I said, I'm going to go up and clean the bathroom myself. I said, because it's not above me to go up there because, you know what, I'm not going to ask you to do what I wouldn't do myself.
Yeah.
And so, no, we can't let you do that. No, I'm going up there, and I'm going to clean that bathroom because I want you to know how important it is to me.
Yeah.
And so people, they know when you're sincere, and those are not dog and pony shows. That's how I truly feel because everybody here is important. Being smart is relative to what you're talking about. And if you don't tap into that resource, you're missing out on a great opportunity.
Well, that's the truth. And for those who might have forgotten, we're talking about a tire manufacturing facility here. It is extremely hot. There are a lot of dangerous places on this plant floor, and it's very dirty in many places because, I mean, you're melting rubber. You're
yes.
testing the chemicals, then you're putting it into the treads and creating the walls and all these separate processes going on all at the same time for 250-plus SKUs, as you mentioned, at 38,000 tires a day.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff going on in this place. There's bound to be some tense moments. There's bound to be some times when things aren't going your way. But, Billy, as calm as your voice is today, you were that calm on the floor that day, and you told me that that's your status quo, and then you let me go and interview other people without you around. And I asked him, I said, you know, this, what happens when Billy gets angry? He said, Billy lets us run the shop. This is our business, and the way he does that is by holding us accountable to run the business. You don't raise your voice. This you're pretty no. even keel. How do you do that, and how do you encourage other leaders to do that same thing? Because, you know, one of the interviews I'd had, and you mentioned, you know, this guy used to work for a guy that was pretty toxic, pretty tough guy to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Go talk to him now and see what he feels like. He was so empowered. He felt so good. He loved coming to work. It totally changed the way he felt about his work, totally changed the way he felt about his career, and, I mean, it totally changed the way he felt about Goodyear.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, one of the things for me, I don't yell, I don't curse, I don't scream at my people. I just don't do it. I have what you call crucial conversations.
Yeah.
And sometimes those are isolated behind closed doors from an individual perspective. Now, I do give stern messages in front of everyone when needed.
Sure.
So sometimes people take humility for someone being soft.
Yeah.
Okay, or they can't lead or they're not direct. People get it. You do not have to go in there and be forceful. And I tell people, be slow with your tongue and quick with your ear. And when you do that, you can analyze things, and then you can come back. Now, internally, you may be boiling under. I know me. Sometimes I get to the point where, oh, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you start going through it, just dissecting it, keep your composure. Everybody is better off.
Yeah.
Everyone, the whole team. Now, you have to practice accountability. It's important. You must have accountability. But I can't, don't confuse accountability with hammering people.
Yeah.
They're two different things.
Yeah.
They're two different things.
You have a lean guy in your head office there that's helped save you millions of dollars, and I got to meet him, but I forgot his name. Bald guy, so I knew he was a good guy.
Yes. Yes.
Of course, being a bald-headed guy myself.
Yes, Rick Lesson. Yes.
Tell me a little bit about him, and what was his story, and why did he all of a sudden decide that he could contribute to at such a huge rate?
He was to the point where he was almost afraid to bring projects forward for fear of humiliation, not being accepted, and he was actually in purchasing. And he came through and he said, "Mr. Taylor, I have a project that could save you $2 million on your roof repair, and it's called reverse auction." So I bring these people in and I reverse the process, and I have another one about we're paying for gondolas for trash that we only need one and we're paying for two. And he said, "But every time I bring it up, I get humiliated." And I asked him, "So, Mr. Celeste, what would you do if you were not afraid? How would you act if you were not afraid?" And he said, "Well, then I'd present it out. And so those naysayers, I would take them on." Yeah. He said, "Because some of them are my peers." I said, "So then you're not afraid. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it." I said, "I want to see you at the next CI meeting. Matter of fact, put me on your project team." And Rick Celeste has saved over $5 million himself through projects. Real hard savings.
That's right, Rick. Yep.
Yes.
And Rick, and when I met him last time, he was already working on the next one. And again, one of those unprompted things, he just came up and said, "Look at what I'm working on now, Billy." And he was starting to show you like the next project he was working on in terms of savings.
Yes. And what happened, we put a goal out there for one of the associates to go platinum, and that's the 12 projects. We're now seeing people reaching double platinum levels.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable. We had to go to two separate meetings on our CI meeting because we can't get all the people in front of us. And here's the humble part. Every one of my leadership team must sit in that meeting on the front row as a spectator, a cheerleader for everyone that presents on that stage. So you come off the stage, your standard work, and every one of us shakes your hand and congratulates you.
Yeah.
And so people now, at first they were nervous and they were fretful. Now they want to get up there and present out to us. And by doing so, I found some great talent. Great talent that was embedded in the organization.
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome. And the opportunity for them to be able to all participate, but their job there isn't to judge, but to inspire and to uplift, to celebrate those that are around them.
Absolutely.
Give them support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And even your interns are doing this. I mean, you were getting charts and financials that are just unbelievable from someone who didn't know what wasn't possible. And she was unbelievable. And she'd only been with you like 6 or 7 weeks when I met.
Yes, she'd only been here 6 weeks, and she's already, we put her in and we empowered her, and she's actually showing us P&L techniques to basically enhance our market share. She's put together a best practice system for North America for cost management and cost controls. And basically she took the red-green system. Therefore, you can flush out costs, hidden costs in your organization in 10 to 12 seconds.
Yeah.
And so, and actually she presented out again yesterday.
Yeah.
And she's a short-term associate with a big impact. So she was empowered from day one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was huge. One last story for me, and then I know we have to take a quick break because we have another, and then we'll have one segment left before we have to wrap up the show. But one thing that stuck out for me was it really is true. You came into an environment that was pretty toxic, and you had to right your wrongs, as you said. You know, we had to right our wrongs and own that we had made some mistakes. But then you started really walking the talk and really delivering on what people were giving you. You listened a lot. When we walked out on that floor, one gentleman who happens to represent the union came up to both of us, but he was speaking to you, obviously. He didn't know who I am. But he looked at you and said, "You know, I know we can do better. We can hit our numbers every day. We're going to pick it up. We're going to be better." Mm-hmm. And that was unprompted. Like you didn't ask for anything. You didn't say anything. And here was this guy who used to be perhaps even antagonistic or felt differently about the shop before, saying, no, I know we can take this to the next level, and he was bringing that to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And part of it is giving them ownership, transferring the ownership back to the people.
Yeah.
And that's critical for me. And once you do that, you value the contribution of others. And people like that. And again, you have to be consistent and sincere. But when you do that, the leader starts serving the organization versus the organization serving them.
Boy, that's absolutely true. And there's not the entitlement. People really feel engaged, and I felt that. I could feel it everywhere we went in that plant, which was just fantastic. You know, Edward Deming said, remove the barriers to pride of workmanship. Mm-hmm. And you have given that pride back to the people as opposed to them waiting to be imposed upon. They're out there feeling the pride of what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love it. I love it, Billy. We have to take a quick break. I went over a little bit on this segment, but just had to get a few of those stories out. We have to take the break, but when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Billy Taylor, plant manager in Fayetteville, North Carolina, for the Goodyear Tire Company. This is Real Recognition Radio with Max Brown and Roy Saunderson reminding you to keep it real. We'll be right back.
Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio. We're going to finish up our wonderful conversation today with Billy Taylor, our guest, and learn some final pointers on engaging for real results. And Billy, I'm certainly been impressed with all that you've been able to share with our listeners today. And I'm just curious, maybe give some final pointers here. What's one thing you do every day that you feel makes a difference in your life?
Every day when I come into the plant, it's that interaction piece.
Mm-hmm.
Every day I make it a point to walk down and speak to every one of my direct reports, and I also walk the front hallway. Everyone that works in this front office, I interact with every single day. Every
wow.
person.
Yep.
And so when I don't walk down to the aisle, I've often heard people come in and say, is Billy not here today? Is Billy not here today? And my assistant says, no, he had a conference call this morning. And, well, we didn't see him. He didn't come down the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized how important that was.
Yes.
Just to interact with people. And so that's the one thing that I say I do every single day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that consistency is valuable, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It really is. Because people want to engage with you when you're... When you're so-called, you're the leader of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
When you shut yourself off, sometimes it gives off the wrong impression, and people want to know their leader. They want to interact with their leader, and being smart is just part of the equation, and it's not the biggest part of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
See, being smart is being a high achiever. But you have to be a high achiever and an engaged leader.
Right.
And so when you don't have it all, you're going to stunt your personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm the smartest person in this building, we got a big problem. we're headed for failure. Okay? But I know how to engage the smart people around me and bring them into the conversation and make their opinions matter. Make sure that they make a difference.
Well, Billy, you've certainly inspired us today. And for many of our listeners who might want to reach out and learn more and apply, obviously, principles that translate into any industry, what would be the best way for folks to be able to contact you?
Well, one, you can contact me at Goodyear. It's Billy Taylor, just one word, at Goodyear.com. That'll be a direct email, and I will respond to your email in a respectable time manner. Or you can catch me on a personal site. People call me Coach. So it'll be Coach, Q-U-E, in the number 4. So Coach Q, 4, at Yahoo.com. And so if you want to reach out to me and or you'd like to see some additional information from me, I'll be more than happy to contribute.
That's wonderful. And maybe just as a last pointer here, Billy, what brings you hope for the future?
Well, one is I'm going to go back to the people side. Success is not in your wallet. And most people put success in your wallet. And for me, I have higher goals and what I want to do from a career perspective. But I've got a personal side, too. And my number one KPI is not the profit margin. It's the people development. So when people call for my teammates and want to promote them and give them opportunity, I have hit one of my most important key performance indicators, developing people and putting them in the right roles for them to better themselves. And so one of my things that I'm proudful of, my last plant, 94% of my team saw upward motion. Mm. And here it's starting to happen here in Fayetteville. Leaders are emerging from everywhere that were dormant at one time. So I don't really concentrate on what's next for me. I do have goals, but you know what? It's like playing sports. If you keep winning the game you're playing, you'll get in the playoffs.
Yep.
Play them one at a time.
Yep.
And so for me going forward, I mean, the sky's the limit for me. I've truly had a wonderful and blessed career with Goodyear, and I have things that I'd like to accomplish. But you know what? Where I'm at right now, I'm making making a difference in other people's lives.
Well,
so that's what's important.
You've made a difference for our listeners today as well, and we'd like to thank you for being on our show today, Billy.
Oh, thank you for having me,
Billy.
Thank you. And, you know, meeting Max, he was awesome. We saw him speak, and we had our pens a-flowing, you know. He was just such a dynamic person, and him coming to our plant, it was an honor to have him here as well. So for me to basically converse with you gentlemen today, I'm truly grateful.
Wow, feelings mutual.
Thank you, and we're grateful for Max for meeting you and finding you to be able to bring you onto the show today. And for all of our guests, all of our listeners, we want you to tune in next week to hear more from Max and I as we continue our conversations with our guests regarding building relationships, inspiring greatness, and creating a workplace where people can thrive. Max and I welcome and encourage your comments and suggestions, so please keep emailing us at feedback@realrecognition.com. We'll look forward to your responses there. And thanks for listening to Real Recognition Radio. You can contact us through the Recognition Management Institute by visiting us at realrecognition.com. Until next time, this is Roy Saunderson and Max Brown reminding you to keep it real.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Saunderson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel for more motivational tips to help your employees perform better. We'll talk again next week.